we do it like we do it.
Ahoy!
Hi. It's always maritime with you. What's up with that?
Well, I want to thank everyone for sailing on the yacht of our sailing along on this adventure. Mm-hmm. And you know how you do that, by subscribing to PCP. Just a little shameless plug.
It's good.
Yeah.
As well. It's good. Yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
Mm. We're not above a shameless plug. It's not even shameless. No. We just
that's how everything. A lack of shame is how we are all here. So how we all got here. Right. So.
Is there such thing as a plug that's not shameless? I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so either. This is America. It's all. Thanks to
you. Yeah. You know, I have some news for you now, Nate. You have a little competition. I know you've been working on getting into Sutton Strack's $300,000 a month little alimony gig there, but someone became available for me this weekend. Oh my God. It's no one we've ever talked about on the podcast before. No one I have an unhealthy relationship with, obsession with. Well, not even her, her family, her family's homes.
Her family's former home.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Yep, that is right. Right live on her podcast, my sweet angel Beverly Hills princess, Tori Spelling. Dump Dean McDermott. Yay.
Yeah, it was a bit of a formality at this point, but it was surprising.
She let him know on the phone recording her end for her conversation that she had filed the papers that morning for divorce.
She was dangerously towing the line. Like, California is a two-party consent state, so they could not. It would be illegal to hear his side without him consenting to a record. But she was toeing that line real close by doing it. Like, that was a little, you know, she might have been flying a little too close to the sun.
She probably had good lawyers advising her. Lawyers maybe paid for by her extremely rich, wonderful mother, Candy.
The problem is, it's not like Tori really listened to like good lawyers before. So is she listening now? I mean, I would hope that she's listening now. Yeah. But
honestly,
I enjoyed how at the very end of the conversation, she was like, okay, I love you. Goodbye.
Yeah,
it was like, I was like, wait a minute, what? You just told this man, not that you need to say, I hate you. I hope I never see you again. Go die. Like, but
I wonder if that was. It was probably just a reflex. You're so used to, were married for what, 18 years? Mm-hmm. You're so used to ending a call that way that you're just awkwardly, like, how were you supposed to end a call where you tell somebody you're filing for divorce?
Yeah, bye. BRB.
I one time told a boyfriend as we were getting off the phone, I was like, okay, love you. And we had not said I love you yet. And it wasn't that I loved, it's just that I even tell you, like, well, not that, I tell all my friends I love them. Like, I tell my friends I love them. So I get off the phone and I'll be like, okay, love you, bye. And so I did that to him. And I was like, no. I mean, love you, but don't love you. Like, it's like.
I have awkward moments with that because people say that casually. Like in entertainment, they always end it with, okay, love you. Like, especially after they've asked you some awful favor, etc. And I say it to little kids. I say it to my niece and nephew. You know, I don't. So I'll be like, cool. And then I just hang up. And I've received comments like that it makes them feel awkward. But
Stacey, I have a question. You've never told us love you. So are we not your friends?
We don't talk.
Is this something we should talk about later? Yeah. That is actually. Well, I accidentally called you the other day. I'll have you know.
That's right.
Yeah,
you did accidentally call me the other day,
and I didn't even know I called you until I heard your voice on speaker because I was looking for cats at the time, and I was like, I called you. Okay, and we had like a nice 10-minute conversation. That might have been the only time we've ever spoken on the phone.
I think so because we either spoke in person or we text.
Yeah.
Or sometimes we voice note, or I voice note you, and then you respond with a text message.
Because I don't like to voice note, no.
No. Or that we see each other on like our Zoom / Riverside things when we're recording, and that's it. Well, yep. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It was a delightful
conversation.
That's why I've
never said it.
Yeah.
It was very nice. I enjoyed that you were looking for a cat. You were looking for Kevin, and you finally found him.
I found Kevin. Yep. Yep. All good. All good.
Kevin.
Kevin.
Jordan and I are slowly, slowly turning Nate into a cat person.
Very slowly.
Very, very slowly.
Yeah. But we're getting there. We're getting there.
No. You know, you might have a lot of places to lose your cats in my new future home, because I've been thinking about it a lot, and I'm so excited for Tori and Candy. It's been hard on me with my family torn apart like this in the news for so many years. And I've been thinking about it nonstop since Tori and Dean announced their divorce, and that's her rebranding and her strategy going forward. Because first of all, Dean was a big issue in her relationship with her mother. He was never good enough. And honestly, they were right. She should have listened to her mother. He was a cheater, an alcoholic. Sadly,
she should have listened to everybody. Everybody said that. Yeah. Unlike Mauricio and Kyle, like, people liked Mauricio. Do you know what I mean? The public did. The public did not like Dean.
No.
Nobody liked Dean.
Didn't their marriage start as an affair? He was married.
They were both married.
So like the thing you always say where if your relationship starts with an affair, probably not a trustworthy person.
The good thing about this is the other thing you could say about him is a gold digger. However, it's not going to work out for him. She doesn't have the spelling money yet. So he put in 18 years, 5 kids, like 6,000 reality shows. He's never going to see a dime of his soon-to-be ex, my soon-to-be future mother-in-law's storied fortune.
She's asking him for spousal support, which is hysterical. Yeah. He not only did not marry into what he thought was this insanely rich family. Well, I mean, he did marry into the family, but he's not getting anything.
The wrong part of the family.
Yeah, he may end up having to pay spousal support, and she wants custody of the 5 kids. I was thinking about this. Was her whole falling out with Candy like a long con? So because she knew this marriage wasn't going to have a happy ending, and this was how she'd get out of ever having to pay him money. Like, maybe, you know, like if she the entire time acted like she had been cut out of Candy's life, then Dean knew he wasn't going to get money. So when it inevitably ended, he knew he couldn't do the whole, oh, I'm getting spousal support, because she doesn't, you know, it almost seems like
she's been on a limit. They've been, when I say limited budget, I mean, come on, it's more than we all make, but I mean, yeah, he can't go and say you owe me $300,000 a month like Sutton. He didn't marry Candy, and Candy has not given her access to that like trust fund or whatever the estate is. So his kids will be taken care of for the rest of their lives. I mean, he won't have to put them through college, I imagine. But no, he's going to be down and out. There's going to be a big difference between holidays because I think this is going to help mend the fence between Candy and Tori.
I think it will, but I don't think he's going to be down and out for long. I think he's going to find some other woman to fund him. He's what a woman I follow on TikTok calls a hobosexual. So, because like he's like a hobo. He's a loser guy who just finds different women to like feed off of, you know, rich women, charismatic women, you know, competent women, things like that. He's gonna find another woman to like, he's going to tell a sob story. Everything's going to be like Tori and Candy's fault, everything like that. And he's just going to, he's a poor addict, yada, yada, yada. I have no sympathy for this man. I'm sitting back, but I think he's going to land on his feet and some poor woman is going to be taking care of him again. So I'm just like,
okay, now you're making me jealous. He's already losing the prize and now he'll be on to the other.
But you're going to marry Tori, and this is as the Lord intended things. Like,
I mean, honestly,
you're gonna be with Tori. And Nate is going to be with Sutton, I'm going to find the perfect cat, and it's going to be great.
I was just going to say, if he goes after, you know, if you said he's moving on to his next rich lady, if he goes after Sutton, I will finish the job that Candy could not. I will end him. End him.
I didn't say rich lady. He's not going to find somebody super rich. Like, this is the thing.
Someone sympathetic.
Sympathetic, who is willing to work hard to pay for his lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Like, you know,
are you saying,
women out there know what I mean.
In this musical chairs of PCP, are you saying you might end up with, are you going to end up Stacey Connor McDermott?
No, absolutely fucking not. Oh my God. No. I've done my time with homosexuals already. I'm done. Like, no.
I do just want to plant this seed, which is another reason besides my own personal fantasy game, is I think she's when Tori drops Dean, she's kind of rebranding, and with a closer relationship or a very Beverly Hills mother again, I think she might have a shot at Housewives. She's begged for it over the past few years, and they've joked she's too broke. She's kind of a single, you know. Now without him, she kind of fits the profile more. So
I think she fits the Valley a little bit more.
The Valley, the show?
Yeah.
She's like in her 50s in an era.
They're in their mid-40s.
Yeah.
She's got all those kids.
That part's true. But I mean, look, she's got all the kids. Crystal, they have Dorit. Yeah. I don't mean she has to move to Beverly Hills. They film in, like, you know, Encino. But it has been a goal of hers. She's, like, begged Andy on Watch What Happens Live. I don't know if she's going to make it. But now that, say, on Housewives, you have Kathy as a presence. And who's Kathy's counterpart in the PCP Beverly Hills world? I mean, I think people would... Sometimes I'm, like, just saying my opinions for the whole world. But can you imagine Kathy's... Hilton and Candy Spelling in one episode, same room.
That's its own. That is the Real House of Bel-Air right there.
Produced by Ryan Murphy.
Feud.
Yeah. Oh, had to get all that off my chest. So.
Oof. Well, can we talk about somebody who desperately, honestly needs a rebranding? Because she needs to move on. Jenny from the Block, because she ain't from the Block, and she's, I mean, I love everybody trolling her on the socials, especially on TikTok, using that piece from her documentary about, like, this is how I used to wear my hair in the Bronx. And, like, people have got, like, pictures of, like, their Chinese cresteds and stuff like that with their hair going all, like, different ways. And, like, they're using that. It's hilarious. But Nate did us all an honor a few weeks ago and watched, not only listened to the entire, you know, This Is Me Now album, and then watched the movie This Is Me Now. I watched the greatest love story never told documentary about the album and the film.
I wish it was never told.
I'm right. Yeah. But this is, I'm so confused though, because I was like, wait a minute. This doesn't make sense to me. I feel like they named them the wrong things, because I feel like both the album and the movie should have been named The Greatest Love Story Never Told. And the documentary should have been This Is Me Now. Like, because talking about how she got here. Like, it's a total reversal. That's why, like, I'm so confused, and I even have a hard time, like, saying them right. And people have really picked up on, because it's been out for a couple of weeks, so it's not like we're breaking any news. So I'm just giving my opinion now. But I laughed. I howled. I had to pause it, and I howled, because apparently Ben Affleck had put together this entire kind of like a scrapbook for her of their love story, of them when they were first together, stuff like that. But then some stuff that, you know, whatever, private stuff for the two of them. And he called it, and how they got back together again and things like that. And he called it The Greatest Love Story Never Told. And that was just for her. It was a present for her. So it was like really sweet. And so then she literally brings out this book that he gave her as a present, as a private present just for her. And she brings up bringing it out in recording sessions to show the songwriters and stuff, because she doesn't write her own songs. I know. She doesn't sing them either, but that's another thing.
I already knew that.
So, he is just like, wait a minute. What? You're showing everybody this? You're showing all these things to everybody? And then he's like, well, if this is the greatest, it's no longer the, he's basically like, this is no longer the greatest love story ever told. Like if you're telling it, defeats the whole point.
He's trolling her in the documentary.
It is like 50% him like trolling her, or honestly, not even trolling her, just being honest, just being like, wait a minute, what? Like, I think like any person, like kind of as normal as somebody could be in Hollywood, even just being like, wait a minute, what? And the other half is him trying to be supportive and loving, especially in front of a camera, a documentary camera. And he is filming some of it too. So for her. But and even like writing stuff, like trying to make it better. And she's like, no. And I think people should watch it because it is really desperately her trying to seem relatable, yet being completely unrelatable still. She cannot see, like, talk about, when I talk about a Leo, I'm always like, her. Jennifer Lopez is the typical fucking Leo. Like, if you want a store-bought Leo, that is it right there. That is a store-bought Leo right there. Anyway, it's on Prime Video.
I'm trying to imagine, or I'm hoping to imagine, Ben Affleck like late at night, like ashtray cig box, empties of Duncan in their kitchen, crafting little arts and crafts, putting stickers and.
Because like that was so sweet of him. I was like, really? That's,
I know,
so
this
nice.
Is unexpected. I'm trying to process him doing that.
Well, also like throughout the documentary, she keeps talking about it. Jane Fonda is willing to do this for her, but is so confused. Like, what is this all about? Mm-hmm. She's like, but it's not really about me. It's this idea and stuff like that. And it's like, well, then why are you calling it This Is Me Now? Mm-hmm. Like, why is this called This Is Me Now? This should be the greatest love story never told. Like, you're saying that this isn't you, but it is you. It's starring you. It's sung by you. It's made by you. It's all this. It's financed by you. All this stuff. If it's not you, then why are you calling it you, basically? Mm-hmm. Like, shut up. Shut up. Stop lying on yourself. Like, stop it. We can all see it. This is going to come back. I'm going to be on SNL one day, and Jenny's going to be the musical guest. And I'm going to be like, and I'm going to say, no, I stand by it. I stand by it. Everything's a scam. It's all scam.
I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not watching this documentary. I barely recovered from the 5 or 6 weeks ago watching that. What was Sofia Varagova in the doc? No?
Not Varagova. No, Sofia Varagova was not in it.
Varagova was not? Okay.
Nope.
I will take your word for it. Well, when you do host SNL and she's the musical act, she's going to look incredible at 70 years old. Just incredible.
She really is. Yeah. She really is. Yeah. I know. Oh, but anyway, that's enough about that. Do you want to get dark for a second?
Always.
Because we talked about it a couple of weeks ago. The Discovery ID / Max little docuseries, Quiet on Set. They're pushing out a episode 5 that's coming out this Sunday, April 7th. And so apparently it's kind of like it's going to have some new interviews with some of the people who are in the documentary and like a couple of people who weren't, but also like roundtable interviews of people talking about like what they've seen, like what they've seen since then and what's come out. Cause like some of the people most of those people who were interviewed, like kid stars of the shows, didn't know it was Drake Bell who was, you know, so it's going to cover some of that stuff. And there's going to be new interviews with Drake Bell.
It was this new episode shot like cameras up because it was such a hit, like a new bonus episode, or was it part of the,
as far
original?
As I know, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I know Drake Bell sat down for newer interviews, so it is newer stuff. Mm-hmm. It's the people that weren't in, you know, people were very confused about those Nickelodeon stars that didn't take part in the first one, like Amanda Bynes, or Kenan Thompson. And they, a lot of them have since spoken, but they've said the reason they didn't take part in it is they didn't, Amanda Bynes, even though Amanda Bynes over the years has said a lot of cryptic things about Dan Snyder, she still said that her experience overall was good. And she did not experience the stuff that Drake Bell went through. So she didn't feel a need, even though she was mentioned a lot in the doc, she didn't feel the need to be on camera because she had nothing new to add. But then Kenan Thompson flat out said, I did. Like, you know, he was on all that. And then Kenan and Kel, which were Dan Snyder shows, although Kenan said Dan Snyder had nothing to do with Kenan and Kel. It was like, it was just a created by name. Dan Snyder had, he did not run it. He didn't do anything. So Kenan's like, I really didn't know him. But Kenan's like, I had no, these things, I have no stories to tell. That's why I didn't take part in it at all.
But I do find it like, it was cool that Kenan, because he was on Tamron Hall when he was talking about that. And he said though, he was like, though, they need to keep looking, like they need to keep doing this stuff. Like he wasn't like, oh, well, nothing happened to me, so let's just like shut up about it. He was like, well, yeah, nothing happened to me. He was like, but something happened, like stuff happened to these people. So like, let's keep going. Like, let's keep looking for this. Like, let's keep digging. And I was like, and he even got emotional. Like you could see him like kind of like welling up. And like, I was just like, oh my God, Kenan, let's hug. Another person, Melissa Joan Hart, like she spoke out and some people gave her crap, but I don't know why, because she was just like, cause same kind of similar to Kenan. Nothing happened to her. And she was also like, I was filming in Orlando. And she's like, I think Nick in Orlando was different than Nick in LA. And also, and she was like, and she's also a little generation, a little earlier too. She's our age.
Clarissa explains it all when I was like a little kid. And then Sabrina, which was Sabrina the Teenage Witch, different network, different everything. That was, so she may have come before that full.
It really was.
Melissa Joan Hart, she's 47, and Clarissa was on from 91 to 94. So that's definitely like in TV terms, that's a generation earlier. Like Dan Snyder was not doing anything at that point. So, you're right. She said the same thing, Kenan. She's like, I feel for all of them. I want them to find it, but I have no, this is not what I dealt with.
Yeah. Right. Personal fight, but it is something that she supports though. That's basically what she's saying.
The one that was the most interesting and he got the most shit was Josh Peck, who was the Josh of Drake and Josh, because they did the show together. And now we know over the years they were not close. After the show, they were friendly during the show, but after, you know, in the years after, they drifted apart. There was a big thing a few years ago where Drake made a big scene because he was not invited to Josh's wedding. This was just a couple years ago. And then Josh flat out said, we're not close anymore. But when this came out and Josh was not in it or did not really say anything about it, the internet just started attacking him, being like, how on earth can you not support Drake? Why aren't you part of this? To the point where Drake himself had to come out and say, guys, Josh reached out to me personally. Not everything has to be public. And we're good. And then Josh said the same thing. He said, I had no idea. That's the thing, is people are just assuming that what Brian Peck, is that his name? Unrelated. They're both named Peck. Unrelated. The guy who abused Drake was not abusing everybody. Like he was abusing Drake. Like that's how abusers work. They're not going after, you know, he was grooming Drake specifically. So it's entirely possible Josh, who was on the show with him, had no idea. That's entirely possible. And that's what he's saying, but he was getting dragged for it because everybody just thought, oh no, you have to say something. Why weren't you part of this? And it's not fair.
And also, like, let's think about it. Josh was also a child while this was happening too. So like, he didn't know that this was happening to his friends. He doesn't have the wherewithal to know that this is happening to his friend. You know what I mean? So it's like, stop thinking. If some people are like, well, maybe Josh should have known. No, he should not have known. He was a child.
He's too. Not in the position to. He wasn't a person of authority to a director or whatever to even keep an eye out or stop it. Now you're blaming, you're pitting child against child. It's kind of, that's not where the blame should go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the blame goes on Brian Peck and the people who supported Brian Peck. And honestly, it also goes on the justice system that only like puts him away for 16 months and then allows him to like go back and like work on Disney shows and other shows.
There been any statement by Lori Beth Dimberg? She was my favorite from all that. You know, Lori Beth Dimberg, Vital Information for Your Everyday Life.
Mm-hmm. I remember.
She's kind of scared because she turned up in Workaholics as a weed dealer in the Valley. She's a lot of fun. So I was just like, I don't know. I guess this guy, he targeted mostly boys, I'm guessing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Looks like it, yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah.
We'll see. You guys talked about Diddy last week. Oh, wait a minute. I didn't listen to the podcast. Where did you guys say I was?
What?
I know.
What?
You're
not still sitting on a runway in Antigua? Well, don't we feel stupid?
I had said that I'm not the only one who's a slut for a private jet on this podcast, and without asking any questions, you hopped on Diddy's. Now you were like,
we said you were on the decoy jet, the one that flew from Sacramento to Antigua, not the one that he was on. So you were on the decoy.
And we didn't say we were a part of it. We just basically said you were so eager to get on a jet, you didn't ask questions, and look where it got you. You were on the run with Diddy in the Bahamas. Yeah. So.
Well, you know what? That takes us right into our next topic, which is Diddy. Perfect. Perfect. I didn't even know. I didn't even know that. And look what I did. Oh, I'm so good at this.
I'm just hurt you didn't listen. First, you don't love us, and now you don't even listen when you're not on. Rude.
I have to keep a certain amount of detachment, you guys. Like, look, I mean, it keeps it easier when all of our listeners love you guys more than me. So
that's fair.
Fine. I'm gonna start ending all my voice notes with "I love you." Perfect.
Okay, I don't need to hear it 30 times a day because, yes, listeners, that's how many voice notes he sends.
I'm efficient.
Yes,
it's like my dad when he leaves. When my dad my dad ends every text with "Love, Dad," it's a letter. Oh, so sweet. I know, but it's still very boomer. okay.
Dad. It's like when celebrities sign off on their tweets, so you know it's them and not one of their social media people. Like Tom Hanks, always the Tom Hanks tweets that he does himself because he closes it with Hanks. So your dad does that in case you think somebody else is texting for him.
That's true. I will know if his phone gets stolen or if somebody's taken over him, you know, because I'll know that. Oh, but real quick, actually going back to last week's episode, we will go back to Diddy, but one of our loyal listeners, Alexa, told me that, you know, she didn't know that stuff about the Cheesecake Factory that y'all ended up talking about. Mm-hmm. And ever since she's listened, she gets nonstop Instagram ads for the Cheesecake Factory.
You're welcome, Alexa. You are welcome.
Right? And she's like, we should be getting money from Cheesecake Factory for having like promoted them for like all of a sudden. So Cheesecake Factory, knock, knock, PCP's here for our chat. Mm-hmm. There we go.
Kanye and Bianca were actually spotted there again since we spoke about it last week. So they're making it just like Kathy and Rick. It's a weekly thing for Kanye.
There we go. Yep. Look at that. When you're there, your family.
Olive Garden.
No, that's the Olive Garden. I don't know if the Cheesecake has a slogan.
Their slogan is we've got just look cake at our menu. It's huge. Yeah. We got cheesecake and everything else.
Yeah.
Cheesecake in the kitchen sink. There we go. All right, let's go back to Diddy. So Diddy.
Yeah. So Diddy, the main update here is I was gonna call him Kelso. Ashton Kutcher.
He's Kelso.
Well, we know Ashton. So what we were reading, it's been coming out, trickling out in the past hours as leading up to us recording this today. And it's, I didn't realize he goes way back. Ashton goes way back with Diddy. Just like he went way back with Danny Masterson.
Yeah, he has some questionable friendships for sure. Yeah, they go all the way back to MTV when Diddy was doing Making the Band and Ashton was doing Punk'd.
Yeah.
And Diddy threatened him. That's how their entire friendship started, with a threat, because Diddy was afraid that he was going to get punked. As I imagine a lot of celebrities of that era were afraid of it. Because
I would have never signed off on some of those if I were.
Yeah, none of the celebrities looked good after. I mean, famously, Justin Timberlake was crying on his.
Yeah.
Right.
But
bad for him now.
No. From what Ashton remembers, basically Diddy said to him, if you punk me, this will not end well for you. Mm. So their friendship started with a very blatant threat. And at the time, Ashton might have laughed it off. But now that we know, that might have been for real.
The stories are saying, because, you know, Ashton stood by Danny Masterson, who's since been convicted of rape and stuff.
Multiple rapes.
Is it life in prison, 30 years?
It's 30 years to life. So it's not... It's minimum 30 years.
And so he stood by him, and him and his wife, Mila Kunis, I believe, wrote character letters in support of him for sentencing. And so what the stories are saying is that Mila is telling Ashton to stay out of this one. Like, remember that horrible apology video they did outside when the light?
They looked unshowered. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think they want
like their children.
Yeah. No, Mila learned her lesson, because they released, I don't think it came from her directly, but they released a statement that literally says, there is no way in hell that Ashton or Mila will be showing any public support for Diddy. Somebody from their team is like, nope, not this time.
Yeah, we're
not doing this again. But he did, Ashton.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, Ashton sort of teased, sounds horrible in this situation, but Ashton was on Hot Ones, the show Hot Ones, in 2019, and he was asked about his friendship with Diddy, and at that time he told the host, I've got a lot I can't tell about it, and then the host tried to push him more for Diddy stories. He's like, no, I really can't talk about it. And at the time it just kind of sounded like a throwaway thing, but looking back,
Do we think like, given everyone Ashton surrounded himself with, eventually it's going to come back to Ashton? You know what I mean? Like, I haven't, you know, he seemed to be very comfortable and around these people and all this stuff. Like Epstein style, is he going to be on those flight logs? Like, what was his role in all that?
He's convinced he's going to get subpoenaed. That's part of the reason why Mila's telling him to shut up, which is entirely fair. I mean, if they were friends for 20 years, that he is, and the feds have been, they've been going crazy with subpoenas over the last, since the raid. They are subpoenaing, is that a verb? Pretty much anybody that's come into contact with Diddy over the last 20 years. Every single business he's dealt with, they've gone after, evidently Diddy didn't own that plane. He charters it.
Ew. So,
yeah.
Why is he even a topic now?
I rode on a rented plane for nothing?
I would never. Gross.
Yeah. So the company that he charters it from, the feds are going after them for every manifest of every flight over the last, I don't know, decades. Because they want to see who were on these planes. They want to see if the accusers were on these planes. They want to talk to if you've had any sort of interaction with Diddy over the last 20 years, you're expect something at your front door. You're getting a subpoena. So they are going all in. So of course Ashton's going to get subpoenaed. If he's talked about their friendship in the past, of course he's going to.
I mean, I feel like it can go either way, because who knows? But also, you know, with Ashton, who can say? We don't, do you ever really know somebody, especially a celebrity? Like, do you ever really know them? But B, he was also like kind of the height of his celebrity was like the aughts and the early, you know, tens, teens and stuff. The same time that like Diddy was huge. And it's kind of, and before the time of social media and of cell phones. And so you really could, there was so much crossover all the time between so many of these celebrities and these parties, and everybody had to come together in a party and like meet at a party and like party together and everything. So it's like the fact that Ashton knows so many people doesn't surprise me and would party. And also, and Diddy was like, he was in so many things and starting so many businesses and having so many shows and working with so many artists and trying so much stuff. And so was Ashton, actually. Maybe.
Allegedly. Allegedly. Let's get ahead of this.
We don't know. We don't know anything.
I don't want a subpoena. I will tell you that right now.
Remember when I told you guys like a while back on here how back in those days, like the mid, I don't know, let's say it was like 2007 to 2000, I don't know, Diddy had his driver pull over in the Maybach on Sunset to stop my friend. It's like a gorgeous model. And she said no. She said no to him. And I was so upset. I always dreamed of going to that
decision
white party.
She's ever made.
But that's also the thing, though, Jordan, that mindset, that you had and kind of have to this day, though, is a thing that I think gets a lot of people, a lot of really good people will get them subpoenaed just because they're like, yeah, I hung out with Diddy. Like, I didn't think much of it. I didn't know there were girls in another room having shit done to them or guys in another room having shit done to them. I just came to party. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's all of that stuff. There's, I feel like there's so many different levels of involvement with him, just like with Epstein, in all honesty. I think there's different levels of involvement with Epstein. So I don't know.
Do you know who's enjoying this the most? Because he also has a podcast, shockingly, is Suge Knight. Suge Knight loving this from prison. He has a podcast called Collect Calls. He's enjoying it. He's like, oh yeah, Diddy's gonna end up in here with me, and he is not gonna like it. So that's that. You know, that's not surprising.
This is what's super interesting about that. So the raid was on last Monday, March 25th. That was the day of the Libra lunar eclipse. And now Diddy is he's a Scorpio, but he has got the planet Uranus at 6 degrees of Libra. The lunar eclipse happened at 5 degrees of Libra. And he also has Chiron, which is an asteroid. It's called the Wounded Healer. And that is sitting at 3 degrees of Aries. So basically the sun was on his Chiron and the moon was on his Uranus, and it was causing all kinds of trouble. Stuff was getting eclipsed out of his life right there on that day. Like, that was powerful. And like, these are like wounds, and there's a solar eclipse happening. We're in between eclipses right now. There's a huge solar eclipse happening. Most people know about it. Even if you're not into astrology, you just know about it astronomically because it's going across the United States, and lots of people are traveling to Texas, to Buffalo, Niagara Falls, to Cleveland, to different areas of the country, Little Rock, to observe the solar eclipse, because it'll be in totality.
This is a big tourism boom for places people would never go. Otherwise, you're listing off like middle of nowhere.
Honestly, yeah. My friend, speaking of Alexa, who lives in Buffalo, she's like, you need to come to Buffalo. And I was like, no. And she's really insistent, and hi there. But also, Mercury's in retrograde right now. I ain't fucking traveling during this thing because it's going to cause travel problems. So people are going to have travel problems right now with this eclipse. Also, I don't believe it looking at eclipses as an astrologer. Anyway, it's just too powerful energy. But this is Diddy. Diddy's downfall started on an eclipse, on a lunar eclipse, and it's just going to get worse for him. I'm just saying this, it's just going to get worse for him. But this eclipse on Monday, April 8th, is in the sign of Aries. It's at 19 degrees. So the sun and the moon are conjunct. And this little asteroid Chiron is right there too. All three of them are together. So, and it's a north node eclipse. That means that what's interesting is that the north node is our dharma and where we're going, and that is us pushing ourselves into the future. The south node is our karma and where we're coming from, and that's usually other people doing that to us. So with Diddy getting getting raided. That was somebody else coming into his house. That was somebody else mm-hmm. causing chaos with Uranus, like causing chaos into him. And so, and doing that to him. It's interesting, Jordan, because you are having your nodal return right now. You're born with your north node in Aries and your south node in Libra. And right now that's what's happening. We've got a north node in Aries and a south node in Libra. So as a Leo sun, both of you guys are getting, actually all three of us are getting hit by this because we're all fire signs, suns. Just change is coming. Change is going to come anyway. Look, change comes anyway, but it kind of like, this is where you go. Usually change happens in our lives, you know, kind of like slowly layer by layer, like sediment, you know what I mean? Like we're constantly kind of like plugging away at life, making little changes. You know what I mean? This is like taking Ozempic or getting liposuction. Like, you know what I mean? Like otherwise you're just slowly like working out a little bit more, eating a little bit less, and so you're slowly losing weight. And this is just like sucking it all out at all out at once.
Like hitting a jackpot or coming into like large sudden sums of money.
Exactly. See, unfortunately, it's not happening for you in your fifth house though. So, which is kind of the
or your fifth house. Settle for four houses.
Well, when you said coming into large sudden sums of money, all I heard was large sudden sums of money. I'm like, yes, I am.
And I heard fifth house and I was like, wait, how many does Candy have? So I was
like, this is the thing. Nate could come into large sudden sums of money or sudden sums of money because this eclipse is because you are a Virgo rising. And this is happening in your eighth house of other people's money, death, taxes, windfalls, like, and that type of stuff. So that could, it called chunky money. One of the people I kind of learned from, chunky money, they call it chunky money. So chunky money could be coming to you, like in that sense.
I'll take it.
But at the same time, there's like probably something that you do that makes that happen. So... like,
no, I don't like that. I have to do work.
Is this like a Menendez style thing you're the stars are telling him to do?
I don't know. I mean, I hope not. I do see a killer in them, but I don't know. He's changed a lot.
So. A sudden.
But for you, Jordan, I mean, it could change. You could change something with this podcast because it's happening for you in the third house. Like it could change the way that you talk. You could get a new social media client actually in this time. And it could be like a really big one. Like you could get Candy as your social media client. So then it would bring money and everything that you've ever wanted.
I would not mind playing around in that world.
But you, at the same time, you might lose a client in order to gain the client that you want, or you might lose something that you enjoy because an eclipse is also like you're eclipsing something out, like the moon is going in front of the sun. So something can like be eclipsed out, but it also makes room for something new. Like for me, it's happening. I'm a Pisces rising. This is happening in my second house of money, of the money that I earn, my earned income, and also how I feel about myself. I'm not going to lie. I timed my quitting teaching spin class with this eclipse, but it also was kind of coming up and I was like, well, is this an okay time for me to do this? And like me kind of looking at everything and I was like, well, yeah, because I'm ready for something new to happen. I'm ready to make money in different ways. And so allowing this cycle of my life to end and to allow new ways to come in, then that's kind of ready. And exactly how that's going to happen, I'm not sure, but I'm willing to allow one way to go and a new way to come in. And that it will happen. So
this could be an 85-year-old husband on the horizon.
Maybe. I mean, it could. It could be.
Fourth and final wife. Get that widow money.
I'm gonna have an ironclad prenup for myself. I mean, this is the thing. I will say, ladies, remember. And gentlemen too, prenups work both ways. So just because you don't have all the money doesn't mean that you don't have anything to negotiate with. You'll figure something out, you know, get a Laura Wasser on your side. So yeah, I think this podcast needs to be sponsored by Laura Wasser. I think so. Don't you?
Yeah, sure. Cheesecake Factory and Laura Wasser and Ozempic. I think also.
Yeah, Ozempic, Laura Wasser, Cheesecake Factory. I think that's like the perfect almost LA thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. Okay, I'm in.
Perfect. Well, I will say this. She talks about it a lot, so we'll go right into it. Our Virgo queen, because we talked about, a lot of people like to think that Beyonce is a Leo, and she's not. She is a Virgo. She's a Virgo with a Scorpio moon, and we have no idea what her rising sign is because she does not let her birth time slip out. But
really?
Yeah. There's guesses with her, but there's guesses with her, but. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if she was a Leo rising, but I don't like to guess that. She has a huge stellium in Libra. Like she's very Libran though. She's very balanced. She has like five planets in Libra. So that even no matter what her main three are, she still will come off as very Libra to people. So, which is interesting. But yeah. But she released Cowboy Carter this week.
Yeah, as the resident music critic on this podcast, yeah. I listened to the entire album today. As you have to do with Beyonce albums in one sitting, you have to listen every single track in order in one sitting because her albums are essentially one song. They just all they go directly into the next song. There's no breaks. So it's essentially, it's 27 tracks, but it's one continuous song, not to be confused with J-Lo, where she has 15 versions of the same song. It's just the same song over and over, not the same thing.
I was actually thinking about it. Like, J-Lo wants to be like Beyonce because she wanted to have like an experience like this.
That stupid visualization was just a copy of Lemonade, or an attempt to copy Lemonade, was not even close. But yeah, so I listened to it on a run, which was weird because it's not running music really, but that's just what I was doing at the moment. And I will say this, I don't think it's a country album. It is and it is not. It's not a country, it's a Beyonce album, which is not a slight. That's a very specific thing that only she can do, but there are country songs on it. Like hell, the two singles, Texas Hold'em and what's the other one? Like 16 Carriages, I think, something like that. Those are definitely country songs, but the rest of the album is R&B, funk, gospel. The album starts and ends with gospel. And everybody just keeps going with the country thing. I liked it. I liked it a lot. I don't know if this is a safe space or not, but I'm going to say it anyway. I don't love Beyonce. I know that's something that I know. I like Beyonce.
I do not dislike
at all. I am not saying that. I like Beyonce. I don't love Beyonce. I feel the exact same way about Taylor Swift. I think they are both super talented, have some absolute bangers of songs, but I'm just not like a diehard fan. But these are not something I would put on social media. Because those fans I'm terrified of.
Who makes the promo?
But it's like with some folks online, you can't be in the middle. You either have to be, you love her more than anything, or you hate her. You can't be like, I like her. That's it. Mm-hmm. I feel like anytime I say that, I have to duck immediately afterwards because somebody's going to throw something at me. But I like it. And I like her album. I like it. I will say, as I was listening to it, I don't know where her next evolution is going to be. Some people think, is she going to go back to R&B? Is she going to try a new genre altogether? I don't know what she's going to do, but I think I know what she should do. She should record a 70s rock album because that album would be so good. It would slap so hard because there are several songs on this album that would totally work on a 70s rock album.
I was watching a thread it was on Twitter, but it was all videos of Miley Cyrus covering other people's songs. I was like, she would be amazing with like Fleetwood Mac, Stevie Nicks stuff.
No, that's just it. Yeah. One of the songs, a song called Yeah Yeah, which is awesome. Beyonce just straight samples their late 60s songs. She samples These Boots Are Made for Walking and Good Vibrations by the Beach Boys. So that's more late 60s. But there are several other songs that aren't straight samples, but you can tell are influenced in some way. One of them is that song with Miley. There's one song called Bodyguard that is very clearly a Fleetwood Mac song from the 70s. Like, you could tell me that song was written by Christine McVie in 1973, and I'd be like, yep, that sounds, I believe you. But the song she does with Miley, which is called Two Most Wanted, it's Landslide by Fleetwood Mac. It's not actually Landslide. It's not sampled by Landslide, but you listen to that, it's Landslide.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I think, now I could be wrong, but after listening to it, though, and other stuff, I think a lot, though, of what kind of the album is trying to say, though, too, is that rock music comes from country music, which comes from black music, you know?
Oh, yeah,
and so it's like this all comes from, so in a sense for her, it's like, it doesn't matter what I sing. Like, this comes, like, so much American music is rooted in the black experience and black ancestry. And it's been co-opted by white people over the years, you know, and stuff. And I think that's what she's, in my opinion, that's what she's trying to say. So that's why it's not completely a quote unquote country album. And that's where I see it. But I could just be reading into it like an asshole.
The haters, which there are many, and mostly very racist, that are accusing her of, like, appropriating country music. And it's like, what? She's from
Texas.
From Texas. What do you think she's? You appropriated this music. She did not. And you know, the two, there are a couple actual straight up covers on it. One, Jolene, seems to be getting the most attention
with Dolly. That came out a couple days ago.
The weird thing with Dolly is Dolly's not featured on anything. She has some speaking lines in. She wrote Jolene, but
she wrote Beyonce's Jolene as well.
Oh, okay.
So this,
yeah, because they,
if you look at the credits, it wasn't a Beyonce. Dolly created a new version of Jolene for Beyonce. It's her song. She has the writing credit.
It's flipped. In the original, you know, the song is about this woman, Jolene, that Dolly Parton did not want to steal her man. In the original Dolly version, it's more of a passive. The line is, Jolene, I'm begging you, please don't take my man. The Beyonce one is far more, is flipped, and the line becomes, Jolene, I'm warning you, please don't take my man. So basically,
what did she say?
Beyonce's is a threat.
Yeah, hers, which I like a lot. I like that. She's basically like, come for me, bitch. And one of her lines is, I'm still a Creole banshee bitch from Louisiana. Like, she's like, come for me. Come for my man. Yeah, you don't want this heat. I appreciate it.
Of course, people are upset about it. I mean, hell, I don't remember it because social media was obviously not a thing. I'm sure people were furious when Whitney did the I Will Always Love You, because Whitney's version was very different. If go back and listen to Dolly's I Will Always Love You, totally different song, completely different. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure people were pissed about it at the time. Mm-hmm. The other cover is Blackbird, the Beatles song, which it's nice to see a lot of people are now who were not familiar with that song are now coming around and listening to it. But what's really interesting was what's come out is that a lot of people didn't know what the song was about. The original,
right?
With Paul McCartney.
They didn't.
They had no idea that the original Blackbird is not about a bird. It is about the 60s civil rights movement. Paul McCartney wrote the song as Black Girl. It was not Black Bird. It was Black Girl. So like the line, you know, The line from the song, like, Blackbird singing in the dead of night, take these broken wings and learn to fly. Paul McCartney meant it as Black Girl, take these broken wings and learn to fly.
It was for the Little Rock Six.
Yeah,
the kids were integrated into the Little Rock school system. So it was based on that. It was for them.
Yeah. And it's the people that are just learning that this now are like, huh, Paul McCartney, he's been this way all the time. That's awesome. It's good to hear.
I mean, the Beatles, like, they've always been like that. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely.
But people forget or they don't know, yeah. You know what I mean? It's like.
And I can totally see some Jack, you know, some record exec, I don't remember exactly when Black Bird came out, like 67, 68. Somebody being like, yeah, we're not going to call it Black Girl. We're going to change it to Bird, Black Bird. Because they did that with a couple Beatles songs. Like Hey Jude was originally called Hey Jules because it was about Julian yeah. Lennon. But they decided, mm-hmm. okay, we're going to make it Jude because whatever reason. But yeah, it's just funny that people are coming around to it. And Beyonce's version is awesome. It's awesome. Yeah. But like the meaning didn't have to change that much because that's what Paul McCartney was kind of talking about the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
It's also the reason that Beyonce said one of the reasons she said she wanted to make this album is because she always talks about a performance she did in the past where she did not feel welcome in the country community. So she kind of wanted to release this to kind of stick it to them, but also to be accepted. And the mm-hmm. performance she always talks about is the 2016 CMA Awards with where she performed with the Dixie Chicks. She performed her own song, Daddy Lessons from Lemonade, but it was with the Dixie Chicks at a country awards and
the
fans.
I'm sorry.
They were the Dixie Chicks.
At I know.
The time. It's hard to get used to. Honestly, yeah, they're the Chicks now. When I pulled it up on my phone to listen to, like iTunes has adjusted it to Chicks, just like they adjusted Lady Antebellum to Lady A. But it's tough to say. But she was the fans were not a fan of that Beyonce performance. They got super racist. They would just, you know, they were like this. They didn't want to accept her into their country world. So Beyonce is still 8 years later is like, no, fuck you. I'm making a country album.
She's the thing number with one right now on the country chart.
She's number one on the country chart. Yeah. It's the album's no longer number one on the, or it is number one on the albums, but the single Texas Hold'em's not number one anymore, at least on the regular charts. But the thing is
she
is that
going
whole,
to perform at Stagecoach? Yeah. Oh my God.
That would be amazing. That would be amazing.
Stagecoach is.
I still wouldn't go. But
no, but.
I hate music festivals.
Is the country Coachella, and it literally happens at Coachella the week after Coachella. After. Yeah. Same venue, same month. And I have friends who go to that one who I used to make fun of. I'd be like, what? Why? But now, if
I love oh my God. I've been to Coachella twice. I've never been to Stagecoach, but I've always wanted to.
Well, let's just also think about this too. Like the fact that like, oh, they make it okay. It's okay for country artists to cross over into pop. You know, oh, that's all right. Like Taylor Swift was a country artist mm-hmm. who crossed over into pop. They make it very hard and very difficult for a pop artist or rock artist, you know, R&B artist to cross over into country. Because country is a very selective period. I think But I think it's especially harder if you are non-white to like cross back into that. But I mean, if you're non-white, it's just like.
And Beyonce's done an awesome job featuring several black country artists, giving them a huge platform with this. And now they're charting numbers. Like Spotify is showing a lot of these artists that were not as well known. Now their music is charting and getting, which is awesome.
And that's another big difference between Beyonce and J-Lo is that J-Lo picks up the ladder behind her after she's climbed up it. Beyonce reaches down her hand and helps more people climb up. Like she climbs up that ladder, she builds new steps and she builds permanent steps. She climbs up a ladder and then she helps build permanent steps to help more people up. You know what I mean? Like that's the difference between J-Lo and Beyonce. And that's why I'm kind of like you, Nate. Like I don't love Beyonce, but I've also had this conversation before where I don't put anybody, especially a celebrity.
No, and I should have said that too. I'm not putting anybody above her because there are a lot of musicians I very much enjoy. I don't know if there's anybody. I don't have I don't want to say obsession because I don't want to insult people, but the way the Hive feels about Beyonce or the Swifties feel about Taylor, there's nobody I feel that way about. It's not.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, but I would say that I have more esteem for Beyonce than I even do for Taylor, but like it's not like it's not a competition for me.
No,
but
no,
it's like, yeah, yeah. But I do enjoy Beyonce a lot. And I think she's a great, and I'm always excited to see what she's going to do next. Even if I don't like it sometimes, I do like this album, but like there are times where I'm like, all right. But you know, I think that's the cool thing about being an artist though, mm-hmm. is that you get to experiment, you get to have fun. And especially if you're of her level, of their level period, like you get to like, you've got enough money that you get to put that out there and people get to tell you whether they like it or not. Mm. You know?
The 2016 performance that she talks about, I don't think that performance ever had a chance to be accepted because Beyonce was performing one of her own songs on a country music awards doing a duet with the Chicks, who still have not been welcome back into country music after what, 2001?
Well, they were already controversial.
Well, that's when they became controversial.
For that demographic.
So the fact that Beyonce and the...
No, I mean, with what happened in the early 2000s. So going into this performance, Beyonce, who viewed as an outsider of that demographic, went in to perform with the black sheep of that demographic.
Yeah, no, that's why I give her all the credit in the world. That was a ballsy performance regardless. So I'm just saying it's not surprising people weren't welcoming to it because of all the things they had going against it. Even though if you go back and watch that, it was awesome. That performance was all, I love the Chicks. And I, like I said, Beyonce's awesome too. So I love that, but I can see that like where people, you know,
yeah. It slaps. All right.
It well, slaps hard.
Yeah. Well, you know
what else slaps hard?
Yeah, subscribing, getting those notifications on your phone twice a week. That's Tuesday's Bravo Breakdown and Thursday's Pop Culture with PCP, plus sometimes an additional bonus track. We're Beyonce now.
Yeah, we are. we throw out a dance remix every so often, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, help us buy tickets. I was just literally Googling as we were talking all the rumors that Beyonce will be the surprise guest at Stagecoach. But yeah, you know how you could help us make it there too? By also rating, reviewing, and following PCP on IG and TikTok. That's at Pretty Corrupt Podcast. And on Twitter, that's at Pretty Corrupt One. And of course, from there, you can find all our personal accounts and track our journeys as sometimes we make mistakes hopping onto whatever plane will take us. But we live, some of us learn. And on that note, who wants to say bye?
You do.
Bye.
Adios. Cause no one can do it like we do it, like we do it, like we do it. Cause no one can do it like we do it, like we do it, like we do it.